This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Mitch Tine.
And I'm Bonnie North. Last week, new Wisconsin Transportation Secretary Craig Thompson announced the creation of a task force to explore ways of patching holes in the department's funding for road repairs and improvements. One key way that's under consideration is an increase in gas taxes or vehicle fees, as the revenues from them are required to go to transportation funding.
But some analysts believe another idea should be up for discussion, especially in terms of modernizing Wisconsin's interstate highways. Bob Poole is director of transportation policy at the Reason Foundation, and he's written several policy papers on the potential of open road tolling for the Wisconsin-based Badger Institute. He joins us on the line from Florida. Welcome to the show.
Oh, very glad to be here.
So what's the imperative here? What are we talking about when we're talking about the need for interstate modernization?
Well, the Transportation Research Board special committee that Congress called for being appointed just came out in December with a huge report on the subject. And the biggest point they made is that the interstate system is wearing out. You know, it was authorized in 1956. First corridors were opened in the late 50s and most of them in the 1960s. And they were designed, if they were best possible maintenance, to last up to 50 years. And so most of them are reached, you know, they're past their sell-by date. The committee said over the next 20 years, virtually all the corridors are going to need to be rebuilt, many of them meaning all the way down to below the pavement, ripping up all the pavement, maybe recycling some of it, but what they call full-depth reconstruction. And they estimated the cost of this at requiring $57 billion a year compared to the current spending. It's $21 billion that is currently being spent. And so it's an enormous challenge to figure out how to pay for this. And the report, in my opinion, dropped the ball on that. They basically said, well, we need to recreate the Eisenhower approach from 1956 and have a huge new federal gas tax that will pay for 90% of the cost, and the states would only have to pay for 10%. That would be about a 300% increase in the gasoline and diesel tax, and I think that's completely politically a non-starter. So that, I think, supports the case. We need to do something different, and my recommendation is to use all electronic tolling as the basic funding source, issue revenue bonds in each state based on the projected toll revenues, and go for it in that course of action.
But a plan like this would have to pass through each state legislature, right?
That's correct. And the idea is that Congress is probably, despite all the talk about an infrastructure bill, is very unlikely to come up with a solution for this. Certainly not this year, probably not in the next decade. Meanwhile, the need is there. Something has to be done. And the states are motivated. I mean, we have half a dozen states that have commissioned major studies of the potential of interstate tolling. And Wisconsin did a first phase study about 3 years ago. And the legislature called for a second phase implementation type study last year, and Governor Walker vetoed it. But in Indiana's gone ahead with a phase two study and laid out a strategic plan for how to do corridor by corridor, rebuild and in most cases widen all the long distance corridors in Indiana. And they think they have a commitment from the federal government that will give them permission to do that.
Now, in your writing, you've made reference to the federal ban on interstate tolling. And,
right.
And I think this might confuse people who have, you know, paid tolls as they've driven on any number of interstate highways. So what does that ban prohibit?
Yeah, first of all, when the interstates were created in 1956, about 8 or 10 northeastern and midwestern states already were putting in superhighways with toll financing, and they got grandfathered into the system. They could keep their tolling indefinitely, but all the new corridors that hadn't yet been designed or started, along with the map that Congress put out, had to be done without tolls. So that's the 1956 ban. Now, Congress in the last few decades has opened up some holes in that ban. For example, well, they created a three-state pilot program that only allows each state to redo one interstate with tolling, and that has not been popular and has not really been used. There's also a bridge exception that says you can replace any bridge on the interstates with a tolled bridge. And so one state already is starting to do that. Rhode Island got federal permission from the Federal Highway Administration and has their first electronic tolling in place and is dedicating the revenues to replace replacing almost 50% of all the bridges are deficient in Rhode Island. It's the highest of all states, and so they really had a need to do that. And so Indiana is looking to use the same provision because there's so many bridges on each interstate that they figure they can put tolling points in lots of places and have it equivalent, be almost equivalent to per mile tolling.
Well, and so do you get the sense that within the Department of Transportation and the federal government as a whole, there is some appetite for looking at other ways to provide exceptions for states that are looking to modernize their interstate system?
Well, that's been the trend of Congress over the last 15 years or so, and actually almost 20 years now, in opening up some new avenues for this. And another one that Oregon is planning to use is called the value pricing program that states can apply to join it. And if they're approved, and there are about 19 states in that program now, they can put tolls on all lanes of an interstate if that interstate is congested and the tolls are variable tolls designed to manage the traffic flow and reduce the congestion. So that's Oregon actually planning now and just has a preliminary approval from Federal Highway Administration to do that on I-5 and I-205 in the Portland area, which are heavily congested.
You mentioned the Phase 2 study that was proposed but vetoed in Wisconsin by Governor Walker. Why have tolls, even to the degree that studies are being shut down, why have they been such a third rail for some politicians, in Wisconsin but elsewhere?
Yeah, and it's not true only in Wisconsin. It's definitely the case these days in Texas and a few other places. Some people equate tolls with taxes and say, well, putting in a toll is as bad as increasing the gas tax. And, well, you know, there's a difference in the sense. Gas tax originally was purely a user tax, and over the last 30 years or so, both Congress and state legislatures have opened up the use of gas tax revenues, mostly for other transportation, but it's not anymore just a user tax. People pay gas taxes to have better highways, and some of the money is spent on mass transit. Well, that's kind of understandable, but you can see why taxpayer groups say, well, it's no longer a pure user tax. Tolls, for the most part, are a pure user fee. You only pay the toll if you use a facility that has tolls on it, and if you decide that it's a better value, you know, you get time savings, you get a smoother road or whatever, and you don't have to use it. So, and of course, most interstates don't have a comparable high-quality parallel route. So this is a concern to people that, well, if tolls were very high, a lot of people who would have used the interstate might say, well, they're going to go off and use ordinary roads. And this is a particular concern if truckers would do that. Heavy trucks would beat up the pavement on the parallel rural roads. So that's a problem that will have to be addressed if Wisconsin, Indiana, or other states go forward with a tolled interstate system. Now, of course, the fact that there's not a whole lot of that happening in Pennsylvania, in New York, in Massachusetts, in Illinois or Indiana, where interstates have been tolled since their inception, means it's not as big of a problem as some people make it out to be.
Well, and as anyone who has driven, say, Interstate 95 in the Northeast Corridor will attest, toll booths can be, quite the bottleneck in
places.
Absolutely.
And that's why toll booths are rapidly being phased out. I mean, they're not all gone yet, but all electronic tolling, which we have in South Florida, it's in Dallas, it's on Colorado toll roads, in Orange County, California, and a growing number of other places.
Illinois as well.
Illinois, that's right, IPES system, means you don't have to have toll booths anymore at all. You can go to completely cashless tolling, with the alternative being you have a prepaid account and a transponder like EasyPass or iPass, and they just debit every time you pass under the gantry, it debits your account. And you can have automatic replenishment to your credit card, which is what I have here in Florida. Or if you don't have a transponder, they image your license plate and send you a bill. Now, that costs a lot more for them to do, so there's always a surcharge to try to recover the extra costs of billing. But that's the all-electronic tolling that is becoming standard, and any program to rebuild the interface with tolls would absolutely, nobody would be foolish enough to go to the very high cost and traffic disruption and delays and safety problems and air pollution caused by toll plazas of the 20th century kind. That's ancient history now.
Well, what are some other moves that Wisconsin and other states might make that could make interstate tolling more palatable, you know, both to the average driver and
sure.
potentially the trucking industry?
Yeah, I mean, I've devoted a lot of attention to that, and there's several policy papers on the reason.org website about user value-added tolling and truck-friendly tolling. For one thing, if we're going to do interstate tolling, we need to be not charging people gas taxes or diesel taxes for when they drive on those newly tolled roads. That's double charging, basically. If the tolls are supposed to be paying for the full cost of the rebuilt interstate, you've got to give rebates for the fuel taxes that are equivalent. You know, if you drive 100 miles on a tolled interstate and you get a certain number of miles per gallon, it's very easy for the tolling software to figure out how much fuel you used and what the rate is in the state and send a file to the Department of Motor Vehicles authorizing monthly or annual rebates of the fuel taxes on those corridors specifically. Now, this is still a good deal for the state DOT because they will no longer have to maintain the interstates, which is their biggest maintenance burden. So they'll still come out ahead if they have to give rebates for those miles because of not having to maintain or not having to expend their own budget on the costs of rebuilding. And that's, you know, we talked about billions of dollars that they're going to save by having toll payers pay for that, and it'll be financed by long-term revenue bonds.
You mentioned rebuilding. Where does increasing capacity in certain places come in?
This is definitely a part. It's what Indiana's implementation study, the feasibility plan, has the widening of, I think, almost all of the longest interstate corridors. That needs to be done by a very careful study of current and projected traffic growth. And the experts who do these studies look at the trends have figured out that over the next 30 years, where they're projecting that truck traffic is probably going to increase on average about twice the rate of car traffic. Now, this is before taking into account autonomous vehicles. And the thinking is still mixed on the impact as autonomous vehicles start coming into the fleet. Most predictions are that it's going to be more travel because it'll be easier, faster, and less stressful, so people will take more trips. We don't really know that for sure. That remains to be seen, but that's the growing trend of thinking. I was just at a conference last week where people who do traffic and revenue studies for toll roads were saying that's their preliminary conclusions looking at the future coming of autonomous vehicles. So there were a lot of corridors, particularly in the fastest-growing states. Now, I know Wisconsin is not one of the fastest-growing states, but places like Texas and Florida and Virginia and Georgia, there's clearly a need for more lanes on most of the interstates, and those will have to be part of the plan because the idea is you're going to make a better system fit for the next 50 years that's capable of coping with the changes that are coming. Now, for trucks also, there's a growing trend. It's still small for electrification of trucks, and they need recharging stations. They should really be on the interstate. But, of course, nobody's going to give away the electricity for free, so these are going to have to be commercial ventures. And yet there's a federal ban dating from 1956 that you're not allowed to have commercial services of any kind at interstate rest areas. But, you know, you go to Illinois, and there's these wonderful service plazas where you can, refuel,
right, the oases.
Have a meal, buy things, so forth. Those are illegal on all the non-tolled interstates in America, and that's kind of an anachronism that needs to be done away with as part of the new rebuilding.
Well, it is all really food for thought. And Bob Poole, thank you so much.
I'm delighted. Thanks for having me.
Bob Poole is the Director of Transportation Policy for the Reason Foundation. You'll find a link to his writing about highway tolls for the Wisconsin-based Badger Institute at wuwm.com.